Hey, good evening, y'all. Y'all doing well? Good. Anybody got a quick testimony they want to share about what God's doing in their life? Always gets the crowd quiet. See, it works every time. Amazing. You and some other folks, and it's been neat to see new folks come into the church. Hey, 297, if you have a hymnal, you'll need to grab that. I hope you not only know the story, the good news of the gospel, the best news ever, but I hope it's also part of your life to tell it. And we'll sing the first and third verses, 297.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell story, because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus.
That it's the story's been around for years, right? But I hope it's fresh and new and exciting to you, right? And maybe even more exciting than the day you came to hear it for the first time, right? Because it's more and more precious. Let's sing the third verse.
I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Seen hungering and thirsty to
we're here, because of that story about Christ and what He's done for us. And we're going to think about the nations tonight and the world and what God's doing in it. But let's begin with just updating on some things to pray about, ministry opportunities and so forth. We want to continue to be praying for our brother Richard Jackson there at SOMC, going through rehab and continuing to battle health challenges. Jennifer Kleiber is at St. Mary's Hospital, and she continues to have significant health challenges, and we're praying for her as well. Dennis and Wilma is there at home battling sickness right now. We're praying for them. Faye Glass went to be with the Lord a week ago, and her memorial service was this past week. Some of you will remember Faye if you've been around the church. She used to attend here and had moved away and had come back later in her life, but we just had our combined board meeting. We were praying for these items and other things that were mentioned. But let me open it up now. Are there things you would like to let us know about to be praying for tonight as we get started? Any other prayer requests or answers to prayer?
Pastor Brad, the jail ministry, I just have Kathy everyone's prayer in because it's been down and there's no time.
Yeah, the ministering in the jail. Yeah, let's be praying about that. Gary?
Yeah, Dave Berlin, I want to thank the church for praying for Matt. 6 weeks would be on the feeding tube with them, and then starting rehab to, because his legs don't work and things like that. So,
yeah.
Dave and Sue are looking for a place up there by there where Matt lived to help take care of the kids for a while. Mm.
Thank you, Gary, for that update. We continue to pray for the Durnlin family and for Matt. Jason.
My dad's brother, Gene, my uncle Gene, passed away about a week ago. So just pray for the grandkids there. He lived in Denver, so he's a veteran, so it's taking some time to get to picking more services the 14th.
Okay. Okay, praying for Jason's uncle that has passed would be great, great uncle, your uncle. Yeah. Dennis DeCamp's uncle, Dan DeCamp, passed away. We want to pray for that family as well. Anyone else? All right. Well, let's call on the Lord. And Dan Edwards, if you'll lead us in prayer tonight, appreciate that.
Thank you, Lord, that we could be here tonight. Thank you for the open opportunity to gather together like this. Pray that as we hear Joel speak tonight, that you'd encourage him and that you'd continue to give him direction. Pray that churches and people will be supporting him, helping him get started there. And just pray that you bless him. Thank you for our teen group that's here tonight. May they grow in you and learn to love you and follow you. And just pray for all these requests that we've heard tonight and of the sickness. Part of our existence here, years right now, and looking forward to the day we're whole and have to deal with sick bodies. But thank you, Lord, for your promise that we can trust you. Just bless our evening. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. I'm really excited about tonight for a couple of reasons. One, personally, it was in a night like this many years ago when I was your age, young people, that God worked in my life. There was a missionary that came to our, Sherry and my home church and presented about the needs in the world. And I was in junior high when God worked in my heart. I remember the missionary asked, if you're here and you'd like to surrender your life to be a missionary and serve God. And I remember acknowledging that. That's what I thought God wanted for my life. And God's ways are so amazing. He used that to really impact my life. What he then did was he began to sort of redirect that desire to make the gospel known to the nations in a little different way, and that I would not be the one that would be going as much as equipping and training and sending others to go. And then, as he often is, he loves to not only do what our heart's desire is, but give us more than our heart's desire. And it was 20 years ago that he gave me the first opportunity to go overseas and actually participate in a cross-cultural ministry. And as you know, that's a big part of what we do. You allow me to travel and represent you. And so not only sending, but being able to do things internationally. But it all goes back, I think about that, to that service all those years ago when I was young like you are. And I don't know what God may be up to tonight here, but here we have a multi-generation family of missionaries, and Joel Richner is with us, and we love this family. We love what God has done in their lives. How many of you remember Joel's father, grandfather, great-grandfather? How many remember Willard Stahl? All right, several hands going up. This church supported Willard, and he was a prolific letter writer. And he set the bar high when it comes to missionary correspondence. He wrote letters to churches and individuals, talk about what God was doing, faithfully serving in Brazil. And now, what a joy it is for us to see God raising up another generation in that family to take the gospel to the nations. So, Joel, it's a great privilege to have you here. We could tell stories about you when you were little. You're not little anymore. You're young. We're all getting older here, right? A lot of us. But thank you for coming, and we're excited to hear what God's doing in your life and about this work that He's preparing for you. So come and share with us what the Lord's laid on your heart.
Yeah, so for those that looked at me this morning and said, I recognize him, but I don't know why, it's probably because I look just like my dad and a little splice of my mom in there. But it's so good to be with you guys again, just like this morning, and to share a bit about myself, a bit about the ministry in Brazil, and a bit about what God's shown me through Scripture. But just to kind of go on a bit about me. So, again, I am 24 years old, born in 1997 in Brazil. So I have a dual citizenship, which is awesome. I am a middle child, so I have an older sister who is named Ariana, and a younger brother who's 14, and he is Jason. So, and he is the life of the party. I mean, he has so many friends in Brazil. I can't keep track of all of them. So, but I was, again, born and raised in Brazil. Went to Word of Life Bible Institute in upstate New York in 2017, and then finished out my bachelor's degree in religions and social sciences, kind of global studies, at Liberty University. So, after that, I spent 2 years doing internships, one in Memphis, Tennessee, at a church called Bellevue Baptist Church. Massive 30,000-member church, the crown of the Southern Baptist, working in their missions department. That was a lot of fun. And then a year with my parents during the COVID time, that was at least at the peak. So right now, I am working on a master's in biblical counseling at Faith Seminary there at Lafayette, Indiana. I still have many years to go on that because I'm doing it online while doing ministry and raising support. And an important fact, my favorite color is yellow. So if you want to hear the story behind that, I can share it later. But before I go any further, I just want to open up real quick to probably one of the most well-known passages for ministry and missions, which would be Matthew 28, and just talk a bit about the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. All right.
Let's move it back so that it doesn't bother you here.
This way?
Yeah. Or maybe forward. Forward might be better.
Here we go. I'm a little taller than some of the speakers, I guess. So, yeah, Matthew 28. Verses 16 and on says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" So first off, we see here that Jesus says all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And that was before he said his command. We see maybe in our politics here in the States, or maybe in our works or in schools or all over the world in places that we legally are not allowed to preach the word. Well, we have been given a direction or directive from someone above all of that. And that's Jesus Christ. And he's given that to us, to the disciples, which said, go forth and teach these things, right? And they taught to other believers, to other believers, to other believers, to us, that we are to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go therefore to all nations. That's not just a few of us, but that's all of us. That's to every believer. We have a calling to share the things we have learned from Jesus Christ. So I want to say thank you so much to all of you who have allowed and made this possible for my family, for my grandparents, for my great-grandfather as well. My parents, they always gave me two options growing up. They said, Joel, you can be one of two things. You can either be a missionary or you can support missionaries. So that was it. So a lot of times you can do both, right? But it was very important to be involved in missions, be involved in ministry. Follow that calling. Follow that command. Be that where you are, where God has put you with your hobbies, with your jobs, with your abilities. Be that overseas, showing that love, that community. And it doesn't say just go and share the gospel. It says disciple. And I believe discipleship is in a relationship. And you do life with people. And so we have all been called to do life with those that are around us, to do life with people around the world and share what God has taught us already. So a little bit about me. God has given me the incredible blessing of growing up in Brazil and giving me opportunities to do a lot of different things. So I love sports. I love going, doing water stuff. I love board games. It's one of my favorite things to do, playing the guitar, eating food, fishing, going to zoos. That's what that bottom one in the corner is, that I look like a seal. That was at a zoo. I just love having fun, and that's so cool that God has allowed me and given me the passion to be able to have fun with people and show them the joy and hope that I have in the Lord. And so this is my family. You guys, you know them pretty well. Jason is almost my height now. He's about maybe 2 inches off. But they are serving faithfully. My brother's in Brazil with my parents. My sister just got back from Germany, and they are, her and her husband are looking for a place to stay in Chattanooga, Tennessee, like a house to buy. So, but it's all going well. So again, what are we here to talk about a bit? Brazil. So some of you have been on a trip, and so there's not much I really have to explain to you guys about that, but Brazil is huge, absolutely massive. I mean, it takes up, you can see almost most of South America there. But where we want to focus tonight is all the way at the bottom on that second picture, there's an arrow to the south, which is Rio Grande do Sul. All right, so why the south? Well, there's great need in the south, great need in the south. My great-grandfather, he was Willard Stoll. You guys know him very well. He went all the way to the Amazon and started churches there and planted churches there, and it is growing and is huge. My dad went there when he was in college and was presented with generations upon generations coming toward him and saying, look at the people saved from the ministry and the faithfulness of your grandparents. And so that was so cool to see that, and God really blessed that. My grandparents then, where my dad grew up, went to, as you can see, kind of on the corner up there, I don't know if my laser is going to reach, Minas Gerais. So it's kind of lower, but centralized there. That stands for General Mines. That's where my dad grew up from 10 till he went to college, and my grandparents planted churches there. And then my parents, and later on my grandparents as well, went to then the south, which is the least evangelized area of all of Brazil. So that's where I grew up. That's where my story begins, and where my future is looking at towards. What is our state? Well, it's a beautiful state made up of people called gauchos, the gaúchos. So if you're looking at my clothes and saying, what's he doing wearing slides and a weird scarf in church? Well, I have these baggy pants, which are made for riding horses, and I have our traditional garb, which I'd say people over their 30s, maybe 40s would wear traditionally around the house. So people that are younger in our state, like Douglas, would probably, you know, wear what's in style. some jeans and some nice stuff like that. But this would be what we would wear at least around, you know, our national holidays, or what some of the old generation would just wear around the house. So this is what you would see. But as you can see, we got a lot of different things to our state. We have different factories, different fields, animals, a lot of produce in that. And it's just a varied culture, and it's beautiful. A little more to talk about it. We are the world supplier of amethyst. So I don't know if you guys know about the purple stone called the amethyst. Well, we supply the most out of anybody else in the world. Our state does. We have the largest Amethyst in the world. Massive, huge thing. I mean, it's like, I can't even lift my arms as high as it is. It's huge, and it's in a mine about an hour and a half away from where I live. Huge. It's really cool. And so we have some of those things. There's the gauchos, which, again, there's a picture of the Brazilian cowboy. So we are prideful, stubborn, and we are nationalists, and we love to do what we do. And if you don't agree, then too bad. that's the gauchos. We love our soccer. We love our food, our meat. I'm sure Douglas has taken you guys to some Brazilian food. I don't know. In Columbus, I heard something. So if you like good meat, then you should come visit us. So those who haven't, at least. Those who have, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. A bit about our spiritual condition. So it's hard, a tough culture, because we have these gauchos that are stubborn. Then we have European influence. We have Germans. We have Italians. We have French. We have Japanese. And then we have the natives and the native beliefs. So we have a very strong Catholicism presence, and there's also a very strong Spiritist presence. We have New Ageism has infiltrated, as well as a lot of times straight up Satanism. So a quick story on that. One of my really good friends growing up, I hadn't seen him for 2 years. I was here at college, and then I went back and I saw him, and I was like, man, what happened? We lost contact. What's going on in your life? So he told me and showed me different things that he had written down about how he had, after his parents got divorced, he fell away from the church and he went and lived with a witch. And they were practicing Satanism. So they were worshiping demons, looking at visions, writing down languages they didn't know about. And it was very scary stuff. And he was doing that for about a year and a half until his mother got really sick. And so he took his mother to a priest. And this priest figured out what the problem was and healed her with blue fire. And this then pushed him towards a false light, which is called New Ageism, which he believes he is an indigo from the next plane of existence that has come down to help others reach that fourth plane. I mean, just thinking about the devil using healing for a false light is scary. So, and that's just one of my friends that I've known since I was a kid. Right. I was helping my uncle teach his students. He's an English teacher in Brazil, and one of his students, her mother is a Spiritist, and the father is Jewish. So it's like a whole mix of cultures there, right? And so just imagine growing up with the common knowledge, like, man, I'm feeling kind of sick to my stomach, or I just feel uneasy. Well, then you should get a cup of water and put it underneath your bed, and that'll appease the spirits. Imagine that just being your reality. That's what you've grown up in. Right? Oh, if you don't eat your food, then a spirit will visit you at night and torment you. And she's like, I only one time did I not eat my food, and it happened. It's like, man, that's a reality that a lot of people live in. And if it's not Spiritism or Catholicism, which in a lot of ways has also led people astray through what they can work for salvation. It's come, at least modernly, it's gone to a lot of atheism, believing in science, believing in what you can see, and becoming apathetic to religion. So we're dealing with a tough culture. We're dealing with a group of people that don't really care about what you know until they have a relationship with you, right? So it takes a while. So that's kind of what I am heading towards and what I am so excited to get involved in. So I'm calling it Gospel to the Gauchos. That's my big thing, Gospel to the Gauchos, because these people need the gospel. You could say, well, we've been sending missionaries to Brazil for years now, Joel, for generations. I mean, you are a fourth-generation missionary. Why would you go back to Brazil? I would say Brazil needs a lot of help, especially theologically, but the South specifically has very few churches, has very, it doesn't even have much of a church culture. It's very lost, it's suffering, and it's without hope. And so that's why I feel that God is calling me to bring the gospel to the Gauchos. And in those Gauchos, again, we have the Germans, Italians, French, Japanese. The Joshua Project just told us that there is an unreached people group in my state. And they are the Hunsrück group. They're a group of Germans that came over when there was free land given out after one of the world wars. And there's 1% of them are evangelized or, let's say, are biblically minded. So there's a lot of need. But before I go any further, I want to talk a bit about God's testimony in my life. I don't say it's my testimony because I didn't do anything to deserve it. It's all God's grace. So talking a bit about my past again, I am a fourth generation missionary to Brazil on my dad's side. And on my mom's side, I'm a fifth generation minister. So it is 100% God's grace and his presence in my life. I grew up in Brazil with my parents in their first church plant doing children's ministry. So I grew up in Awana. I grew up learning the verses, playing the games. And I just remember going home when I was four from that. And I was just scared. And I was like, man, you know, I really need Jesus to save me. Right. And I was scared of hell. I was scared of not knowing where I was going to go. And I knew that I needed the Lord. So I remember kneeling down and my mom praying with me to accept Jesus Christ as my one true Savior. That his sacrifice on the cross was enough to pay for my sins and to give me eternal life. And that was so important for me as a kid. And when I was 10 years old, I got to this point where I was like, man, did that really happen? Did I really mean it? And I believe it did. So I was baptized at the age of 10. My dad baptized me in Feituria. I'm pretty sure Douglas was there and he saw that. So baptized into one of those inflatable pools in front of the church. And it was so much fun. But even so, I hadn't fully dedicated my life to the Lord. I was living like a Christian. I was going to church. I was loving people. I was a crazy kid. You know, I got a lot of spankings, so I'm not going to deny. You know, I got a lot of work on me with. But it wasn't to that point where I was like, I know that my life has to be 100% dedicated to God. When did that happen? Well, that happened around the age, when I was around 14, when my great-grandfather died, Willard Stahl. So I remember being at his funeral there and looking at the open casket there and seeing him and just wondering, man, what was in this man that kept him on the field no matter what? His wife died of a heart attack here. He could have gone back to the States. He retired. What is he doing here? Then it just hit me. It was like, it's because Jesus Christ was the center of his life. It meant everything to him. Everything. And I just said, I want that. And it was very evident. As you guys received emails and messages, this man kept on reading the Bible. I mean, he read it over 100 times in his lifetime. And I just remember going to see him and he'd be like, Joel, I learned something new in the Bible today. I see the Trinity in like the second verse of Genesis. I'm like, okay, cool, Gramps. You know. Then the second day I go over, Joel, I learned something new today. I see the Trinity in the second verse of Genesis. I'm like, oh, okay, Gramps. You know, it was yesterday you said that. But it was just something that was driving him, right? So God gave me the awesome opportunity of when my parents went to Iwo Chi and to take part of their third church plant, I was at the age where I could be given some responsibilities. So running the sound, helping out with the kids ministry, being a part of the jujitsu ministry, just so many different ways that God used that church plant and that ministry to help develop me for what he had ahead. So, but I didn't really know what was the plan yet. So I went to Word of Life not knowing, is it languages? I like learning languages. Is it ministry? But then he made it very clear it was in ministry. Then in my sophomore year, he made it very clear as well that it was Brazil. So that's kind of been my path. I'm now on that way, hopefully on the fast track of getting back and being a part of that ministry there. But there has definitely been tough times, struggles, and hardships, but God has shown himself evident and present through all of it. And really, it's all his grace, and that's his testimony. So I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But just to give you guys an understanding, my favorite life verse really is Psalm 9:10, which says, "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, O Lord, never forsake those who seek you." And that just means so much to me because I know that God will never forsake me. If I'm here in the States, if I'm in Brazil, wherever he wants me to be, he's not going to forsake me. Even if at times I'm struggling to really value our relationship, he's still running after me and pursuing me. And the more I trust in him and seek him, the more we get closer because he's always on his side working for that to happen. So a bit of a context of what's been happening this year. In July, I got accepted into ABWE, so that was awesome. Had a lot of people helping me out, and we had new mission orientation and had to do an interview, a doctrinal interview on all 10 points of soteriology, if you even know what that is. And I could not have notes, so that was kind of scary. but it was a lot of fun. Then after that, I was ordained in my sending church, which is a small church in upstate New York. So my dad came back from Brazil for a little bit, so he was there. My grandfather on my mother's side was present, so he was there. And then about five other pastors and deacons were present. And it was an awesome time. And I'll have you know, my grandfather, at the age of 23, which I was 23 when this happened, so 60 years ago, was ordained in this exact same church, in the exact same life spots that I was in. So it was so cool just to see him be there and present for that. Since then, I have traveled over 7,000 miles by car. So in the past 2 months, I've been everywhere. And God has awesomely just been blessing that to help me raise about 20% of what I need monthly to go back to Brazil. So it's been a busy first 2 months, but it's been so encouraging to see him just have a hand in all of that. So looking ahead, what does it look like for me going ahead? Right now, probably this month I'll be here with you guys, and then I'm going to go next weekend to Chicago, visit a church there. And then I'll have to see what the next 3 months are going to look like. If God raises the support I need by the end of the year, I'm hoping to go to Brazil. If not, maybe middle of next year. We'll see what God does with that. If any of you recognize the picture, that is the Sichu. So that is the retreat center that some of our missions team went to. And so we've really expanded and built onto that there. So it's just a cool throw in there. But beyond that, my plan is to go again to Rio Grande do Sul because there is such a need there. We have maybe 12 churches in our group of churches around the greater metropolitan area. So let's say 7-8 cities, right? And so these churches working together, and I could say about 3 of them, 4 of them are dying. We've had a lot of missionaries that are from the States come in with American church models that say, I'm going to come in and leave in four years, and it doesn't work. It's a tough culture. We have Brazilians that come from the North and say, I'm going to do what I've done in the North, and it doesn't work because it's a very different culture. And so I feel, and I've seen God just help me understand the Gauchos and be a part of them and grow up with them to be able to go and be guided through what he wants me to do down there in the South. And Douglas knows. Douglas grew up in that. So the fact that he is here today serving the Lord with his heart is such a testimony to what God can do with the Gauchos down in the South. So what would I be doing? Big focus would be these 4 things: evangelism, biblical counseling, church planning, and discipleship. You could say, well, what's your focus? You know, some people go for medical missions, some people go for social projects. And I say all of that is great, but it should be done through the local church because then that gives it stability, that gives it ways to continue. It gives even financial support, people, personnel. So the focus is always church planning And through that, we see discipleship evangelism, biblical counseling, could be English teaching, music, any. We love playing board games with Brazilians and just getting them and building those contacts and relationships and just friends. You know, sports has been a big one. So, but again, these would be the four key things that I'm really wanting to focus on while I'm there. Why ABWE? There are a lot of agencies out there, but ABWE at its heart believes in church planning, and not just any kind of church planning, but you're planning Brazilian churches because you are going in, building up a Brazilian team of leadership, handing it off to them, stepping out, and going and doing that again. So it's not an American church in Brazil. It's a Brazilian church. They own it. It's all part of them, but we are guiding them, developing them, and teaching them theologically, and just helping them with that. And so that's what I believe is one of the best routes to do it. Again, current plans, I went kind of over that, being here with you guys and going, please pray, if you do think about it, my sending church is going through possible changes. I don't know. I can't say too much. But I might go and spend some time with them and invest in my sending church. It's a small church, about 20, 30 members. So they're not a lot, but they're family. And they've supported on my mother's side all the way up to my great-grandfather as well. So it's crazy how God has just been supplying through the generations, and for potential contacts with other churches as well, other families, other members, to open doors for me to go in and meet people, so which is a big one. If you want some of my information, I have my Facebook up here, Joel Richner, my current phone number, and my email. I say current because I change my phone number every year, depending on what country I'm in. So, yeah. So a bit real quick about looking ahead again in what's going to go on in Brazil. For me, I have a city that God has placed on my heart. It's called Igrejinha. It's a small German town on the way up to a tourist city. So a lot of people come through it. And I have a friend from high school who married a spiritist, but he said, Joel, wouldn't it be cool if you could come here and plant a church? And I said, you know what, that would be cool. And invest in his life even more, see where God takes that. He just had a kid, and so I took that opportunity to say, well, now that you have more responsibility, you need to be a good father and a good example. So I would like to have some spiritual conversations with you. I think that'd be important. And he said, you know what, Joel, I think you're right. I'd like that. So next chance I'm in Brazil. That's what's going to happen. But you'd be praying about that for me. Where does God have me? Where's his plan? When does he have me getting there? For maybe the first one or two, maybe 3 years, I could work with my parents. Maybe with some of the other missionaries to grow an experience of what that looks like to plant a church, to have healthy ministry, to make sure things are in the right places they should be in my heart and in priorities as well. So, but thank you so much again for letting me be here and participating with you guys, and again for the investment you've made in my family and in the generations. So, it is exciting. I'm kind of leaving some time for questions. Does anybody have any questions they would like to ask about different things of my past, the future, what's going on now? Yes?
What was your role in Memphis? You said you had a church that had thousands of people there. What specifically did Joel do in that church?
Yeah, so at that time, I was kind of fed up with the States. You know, I was like, man, I don't know if I want to go and do any more thing in the stuff in the States. I want to go to Brazil. That's where God has given me a heart for it. That was 2019. And my mom called me on the phone and she said, Joel, it is not your time to come to Brazil. You will, if the moment you come here, you will not do any more internships. So I think you need to find an internship. I was like, all right, mom. So, I got in contact through a church. I was already doing an internship there at school with this church of Bellevue. And they had a missions department, and they said, here's the plan, Joel. We have $2 million of a budget, and we want to use this $2 million just for the missions department to get our 30,000 members out of the benches and into the community. Because we have a lot of people that aren't involved in ministry. They're just maybe helping out maybe like every quarter. We want people to get involved in something every week. So I said, well, I can do that. I think that's something I can put my heart around, is getting people involved in weekly ministry. So my job was creating pathways, is what we call them. And these pathways were in the community. I was in charge of connecting with smaller churches and with community-based projects, mainly with people that were struggling in low poverty or different stuff like that. So we had also high school ministries and nonprofits. So it was very administrative, but also personal in some ways. And in the end, we created close to 130 pathways. And we presented it to the church and said, here are opportunities and needs weekly for you to get involved in. I served in one of those pathways in a church of about 100 members. I was one of their youth leaders because that's what they needed. So it was a lot of fun. One of the big difficulties I see in church culture is connecting well with other churches, having good relationships with other churches, and sometimes I guess it could look like a competition. And so being able to build that relationship with churches to take people that had maybe a stirring of getting involved in culture and, well, culture in the community around them but didn't know where to do what to do or where to start, and kind of guiding them towards that was a lot of fun. So, you know, there were days where I was running stuff with 2,000 volunteers, and I'm like, what am I doing here? But God used that time definitely to help me grow, especially administratively. My dad's not great at that. He doesn't like paperwork. So what I couldn't learn from him, I learned a lot at this internship specifically. So, although my dad is a good leader. So, yeah. Any other questions?
How did you end up back at the church in upstate New York? How did you end up there?
Yeah, so when I went to Word of Life in upstate New York there, they were about half an hour away. And so I didn't have a car. I didn't have anything. I didn't have a good way to get there. But the members said, we would love for you to be a part of our church family. And so one of the guys would drive an hour to pick me up. And I would go and I would spend the weekend at his house. And then another member would drop me off at school again on Sunday night after church. So they invested in me. I invested in them. And it was so much fun. I did that for about a semester and a half. And then I transferred over to Liberty. And so when I came to them saying I was looking for a sending church, the pastor cut me off there and said, I want to make this happen. So, again, they're a small church, maybe 20, 30 members. Sometimes it goes up in the summer because that's when all the snowbirds come back. But they are supporting me $300 a month. I don't know how they're doing it. they ordained me and have sent me and have loved me and are checking in on me every week. And it is incredible what kind of a family they are to me. So I need to raise $3,800 a month. So I think it's like $600 of that goes to the costs of the mission and what like people to run my account and to help with a bunch of that stuff. About $800, I don't know, I think it's like $800 is what my like health insurance and some other things go in with, like all the different taxes and stuff. Then I have about a $500 amount for my missions fund. So if I want to buy basketballs, then I can say I want to buy basketballs and get refunded through that. And then I have about a $1,000 salary. So, and then there's like a little bit that goes to housing. So that's why. And they saw, all right, what's the cost per living there in Brazil? What do you need? How much can you, you know, would you need to be able to pay for all this, pay for rent? So that's kind of what they decided at that. So I still need to raise outfit and passage, which would be cost of buying a car, plane tickets, you know, furnishing wherever I'd go to move into, which is like $25,000-$30,000. But God's in control and he's taking care of it. So, any other questions?
There was a pastor, maybe his name was Mario?
Yeah, Pastor Mario. Mm-hmm.
Is he still active there?
He is, yeah. My dad would know a lot more about what's going on. I've heard just a few things here and there from him. So again, I haven't been a lot in the state in Brazil. I was there last year, so I can say that the churches in the area have gotten together very well and have built a good community. They started a seminary down south. I don't know if my dad's talked a bit about that, which has been good. Again, we only have like maybe 2-3 students a year because there's just not enough churches to develop a lot of leaders. But he's part of that.
We went down from 2001.
Okay.
And at the original camp, and they.
You talking about the retreat center with the Everetts? You talking about the retreat center from the Everetts?
Maybe.
Yeah, probably. It's doing great. So, we made a pond. My dad wanted to have fishing ministry. Sounds like my dad. And so he put some bass in there. We have a friend who's an enthusiast and found some bass and put that in there. We've put down a cement court, and we have a soccer field, and we have a kind of like a play park, you know, for like kids. And that's been dedicated to Cal Clark. I don't know if you guys know about him passing away this year. So it's the Cal Clark like play center, which has been really cool. We've developed it so it's got over 100 beds for people to spend the night and do things. And so the big focus right now is we have an awesome property, and Edson, who is in charge of it, just finished seminary and got ordained, so he's a pastor. So we have the place and the pastor, and now we just need the people, and we have a church, right? So that's kind of the next big plan there, is how do we take that and develop that into a church? And maybe through all that, it could be self-sustaining. Any other questions?
You mentioned that God laid this new community on your heart that's more unreached.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it close to these other established ministries that you know and are part of? Like, is there a team that's going to be close to you that's established?
Mm-hmm. From pretty much all the other churches that we have in the area, it's about an hour away. So it's a good distance. But I wouldn't go alone. So definitely either be working with some nationals, either another local pastor or another missionary. Because we've learned, especially over the corona time, it is very hard to be doing ministry alone right now. And there were a lot of people in ministry, pastors, missionaries, that fought through depression, anxiety, trying to understand their purpose, their value. When ministry is cut down and that's what you are always doing, and you end up a lot of times putting your value in that, it can be hard. So I think we've, especially ABWE, has seen that this is really important to make sure we have teams set up. So I would never be going in alone. But I have friends that have become pastors that are local Brazilians. So there are possibilities there. Maybe God is going to introduce someone that I don't know. It'd be kind of fun, a new partner. Hopefully, again, the idea would be partnering with people with similar values. So, we'll see. I don't know yet. Yeah. Good question. Any other questions?
You mentioned COVID. What is the current COVID situation in Brazil? It's hard to keep track of.
Yeah, so I'd say about 4 months ago, it was really, really bad. No beds in any hospital in all of Brazil, not even for the doctors. And if you got sick with the new Delta variant and you didn't get any help, you were dead in 3 days. So it was that serious. And so the vaccines hadn't really rolled out. There was a lot of corruption going on. And so it was just really dangerous and scary, very scary. So when I was there last year, it wasn't even that bad. And that was, I said, during the first peak. So for a little bit of time, everything shut down. Ministry shut down again. But it's gotten better now. I think vaccines have rolled out. It's kind of passed. It's kind of gone through its, you know, its wave. And so things are looking better. I think ministries have opened up. My parents just last month had their first service in their new church plant, which is so exciting to see that. So it's opening up and it's getting safer, for sure. But you're still having to wear a mask at all times. And there's different still governmental mandates in place. Yeah, not as free as here. Any other questions? And if you're too nervous to ask now, you can ask me later. while I'm here, I always need to talk up Erin because she's just an incredible person and such an incredible member of this church. But she's doing awesome stuff at the Hangout right now. But I can always look back and see her present and just doing incredible things for the ministries that my parents were a part of. She always filled the gap of needs in a team. And so, especially because I was really present at the last church plant in Evo Chi, you know, for our worship, we were going off of a playback system. We had an MP3 player, and from our mother church, we would play a song that they recorded, and we would sing to that. And that's kind of sad. There's nothing really live going on. You're not really playing, you know. And so she came in, and I think she spent like 7-8 months with us. And she taught a few different people how to play instruments, right? Guitar, piano. And then she got from four different churches a bunch of songs and built us a worship book that we still use today. And because of what she did then, the Church of Iwo Chi now has four different worship teams with four different leaders that use all of these same songs and many of the people that she taught. And so I look at that and I say, wow, we would have gotten nowhere in our worship if it wasn't for Erin, for her incredible investment. And she's done that not just at Iwo Chi, but at Faith Uriah. She was there. She was present. She was working. She was investing in teaching English and, again, in worship in so many ways there. And it was just so incredible. And she's doing that now, investing in lives there at the Hangout, helping with that church plant. And I know that if I need anything, I could just call her up and she'd come in and invest months at a time, even if she's doing something else for the ministry there. So just wanted to encourage you guys a bit that you are supporting an incredible person there, an incredible missionary who's doing so much for the needs and the people there. So thank you. Of course, to me, she's just Aunt Erin, and, you know, she's always bugging me about doing stuff, but that's kind of why, you know, she's family. So, yeah, thank you. Good. I think that's it.
Questions for you, Joel.
Okay.
I'm here to be with you. I want to let everybody get their questions out. So first of all, I have never heard a missionary candidate come and acknowledge publicly that they had a lot of spankings growing up.
Yes. Yep.
Is that part of the necessary preparation to be a missionary? You have to work through things? Or?
Well, at least to be a decent human, I feel, in some ways. You know, my dad spanked me so much that the people at Faith Uriah, the church where Douglas came from, they were like, oh my gosh, Randy's a monster. Right? They're like, he's really taking it out on Joel. And then years later, when I grew up, they're like, we understand now, Randy, why you did it. You know, discipline is important.
So you're good company here. We believe in the doctrine of travel, so we understand how should we come into this world.
Amen. Yeah.
I was talking to Douglas about this, and some people speak a language and have a second language. You have two primary languages, right? You can go either way.
Pretty close, yeah.
When you're praying, which language do you pray in?
My parents always taught us to speak the language we're in, and so I guess if I'm in the States, I'll pray in English, and if I'm in Brazil, I'll pray in Portuguese.
Yeah.
When I was with Word of Life, I took a trip to the Philippines, and that's a big hour change. It's like a 12-hour difference. And me and two other guys were the only guys that wanted to wait it out till nighttime instead of sleep during the day. Right? So I was exhausted by the time I went to bed. And so my friend, after I'd just gone to sleep, he goes and he wakes me up asking for an adapter to put in the wall for a different plug type. And I don't remember any of this. He just told me in the morning, he's like, "Joel, you got up out of bed and you were talking a language I didn't understand." Right? He was just like, cause I just subconsciously, I was so tired, I was just speaking in Portuguese with him. And he's an American, right? And so he's like, "I don't know what's going on, but you started pointing at stuff and showed me your suitcase." And so, and the funniest thing was, we were in Word of Life Philippines, and he's like, "And dude, on the wall there, it's one of the rules is no tongues." And so you were breaking that rule. You cannot use tongues here.
Some interaction in Portuguese.
Oh, sorry.
No problem there. Tell us a little bit more about your grandparents on your mother's side. They're wonderful people. I think I know some, but people would love them. How has God used them? Tell us their story a little bit.
Yeah, so my great-grandfather on my mother's side, his name was, I don't know, we called him Poppy. I can't remember. It's something William Cummins. But he was the first president of ABWE.
That's right.
So he was the first president when it became an organization that was worldwide. And so there's kind of a bit of, you know, it runs in the family, a bit of blood in that. But he was always traveling, always investing. And it got to a point where he was traveling and becoming so famous in preaching that his family was suffering. And so it got to the point where he had to decide, is spreading the word and even messages and investing in the nation more important than my family? And he decided that his family was the most important. So he didn't rise to any sense of fame, and he gave that away to never travel beyond like one day or one night, right? And he was always then with family. And so I think that's been a route down the line to where I see that that's always been so important to my parents and my grandparents. Family cannot pay the price for ministry. So, learned that from him. He died at 102, so God definitely blessed him with the age. And my grandfather, on my mom's side, he went to Hong Kong as a missionary. So that's where my mother was born. So I may have squinty eyes, but it's not because I'm Chinese. But
and that is Bill Collins, and you'll recognize that name.
So Bill Collins, yep. He's well known around ABWE office because he was also in charge of Asia for a little bit as a director of that as well. So he invested a lot of his life and time there. And it's just incredible to see these random calls he gets from Chinese people, and he's speaking in Cantonese, and I'm just like, wow, wow. So, and that's where my mother grew up and then came back and spent the rest of her teen years in New Jersey and met my father, and they chose to go to southern Brazil. But in my life, my grandfather was always pushing me to read the word, and he was the one that came up to me one day and said, "Do you have a life verse? You need to find a life verse." And that's when I chose Psalm 9:10. But I can say I've been discipled by both my grandparents, influenced by both my great-grandfathers, and very few people can say that. So,
your grandfather, Bill Collins, spoke at a Cedarville chapel when I was a student.
Oh, yeah.
He talked about Psalm 51, about being how God desires a broken spirit. Mm-hmm. And I still remember that. He's a wonderful man of God. His health has not been good. He's still living, right?
Yeah, he last year in November got the COVID, and he got to the point where he was saying it was going to be his last rodeo. So, but God pulled him through. He's kept him alive going. I say giving him extra time, and it's been an investment in my life, and I can see good purpose in that. And same as my dad's my dad's father, he just this year had a stroke and lost a lot of his short-term memory and even some speech capabilities. Slowly regained that, so he's doing a lot better, but he can't drive, he can't work. He can, you know, take care of the house, but he was the only one with a job. And I don't know if you know too much about my grandparents, but they had all of their retirement stolen, retirement money stolen. So they are living off of what the government can provide at this point. Mm-hmm. So if if you think of them, pray for them. I wouldn't say that they would want to say they're needy. And I wouldn't say they are, but God's blessed them. But they're definitely struggles. My grandma says every dollar has a name. So.
So the last question, especially to young people and even older people, how would we know if God wanted us to go somewhere else in the world, take the gospel, be a missionary? How would you answer that question? How would we know?
Yeah. I would say number one is if you're not in the Word and you're not dedicating yourself to good influences, then you're not going to be hearing God when He's speaking. He can definitely still shout at you and wake you up. But first off, you need to make sure you're being influenced by good things. So I'm just going to turn real quick to Psalm 1. I love Psalm 1. But it for me, it just says it all. It says, you know, blessed is the man. Verse 1, he says, who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So first it really comes down to what we're influenced by. If we're influenced by the word of God, if we meditate on it day or night, day and night, which has been a fun habit for me, I decided I'm going to read Old Testament in the morning and the New Testament at night, just to kind of follow with this verse, and it's been awesome. But then what does that look like? Well, what we are influenced in then shows what we have invested in. So verses 3 and 4 says that, again, he who is blessed is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. So it's strong, it's firm, it's planted, it's healthy. But the wicked or not so are like chaff that the wind drives away. And chaff is that worthless part, the husk around the wheat, that when you throw up, the good stuff drops and then the chaff is taken away in the wind because it's got no substance. It has nothing to hold it down. It's just taken away by whatever. And so what we invest in, then what we're influenced by and what we invest in is going to show. And then that affects what goes on for eternity, right? Verse 5 and 6 say, therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So I would say, be careful what you're influenced by and what you invest in. Because that's going to show. Either by what you get at the end, right? What's in your crown? My dad loves talking about his crown, the jewels in his crown. I remember listening to, I can't remember who it was, but they were talking about how when you reach the end, you know, you have your crown. And so what, at the end, you're not taking anything with you to heaven, right? But it says that the saints are going to kneel down and cast their crowns. So we're going to have one thing that belongs to us that we can give back to Jesus as thanks, and it's going to be that crown. So what kind of gift do you want to be able to give to Jesus as thanks at the end of time? Right? Casting that crown. So what are you going to invest in? So if you feel, man, I'm called to missions, I didn't know if I was called to a certain place. I knew I was called to people. And I think we're all called to people. We're all called to be loving people, to be showing what it means to be a Christian, to show that joy, to build family. So maybe that is overseas. Maybe that's just someone in your family that is hurting, that is suffering, that doesn't have hope. Maybe that's your neighbor. Maybe that's someone at work. But building those connections that you can then show off to them what it means like to be filled with joy and hope and eternal life. Maybe that's through, again, maybe your hobbies. You know, we like playing board games. My dad loves sports, fishing. But it's those kind of ways that you show, hey, I'm a human, I'm normal. But there's something beyond that, which is eternal, that I want to show you. So if you feel called overseas, I would say be vulnerable to the Spirit's leading. We see in Acts that is so present, where Paul is just led by the Spirit here and there. And maybe that's through the Word, maybe that's through people, maybe that's through sleepless nights. When I was at Memphis and Bellevue there, I didn't know. I had a plan where I was going to be there till May. And then February rolled around and I wasn't sleeping anymore. I was like, what's going on? God God, are you trying to tell me something? Trying to show me something? I don't know. Then I started talking to people like, man, is it my time to go to Brazil? And they said, I think it is. So I went and talked to my bosses, and they were like, no. You promised. You gave us your word. You were going to be here till May. And I was like, oh, I just feel like, I don't know, maybe God's leading me somewhere else. Maybe it's time to go to Brazil. So I told them in 2 weeks I was going back with my dad. He was in the States for a conference. And a week and a half later, the world shut down because of Corona. We heard maybe whispers and stuff, but before then, I didn't know. And God had me in Brazil for an exact reason and a purpose he had to be helping the ministry, doing different things there that I wouldn't have been doing because I'd been in the States just kind of stuck. So I'd say be sensitive to the Spirit's leading. I can't really say exactly how it is or what how it works. And that's kind of the mystery behind it, right? But being sensitive to that. So those would be the three things.
Good. Jason, would you come up and lead us in prayer for Joel? I know you have a real love for this family and for Brazil. And we'd like to join our hearts together with Jason now if you'd lead us. And let's commit our brother to the Lord and all that God has called him to.
Gracious God, what a joy it is to see another generation of this young man's family come before you, committing their lives to serve you wherever you would have them. And you've chosen and seen fit to have this family in Brazil. And Lord, we just thank you for Joel's heart. Thank you for his sensitivity to your leading, his love for your word, and most of all, his love for lost people and his desire to reach out to them. And I just pray that as he travels and speaks to churches that you lead him to, that you would give him safety, that he wouldn't be so concerned with making good time or whatever, but as he's driving, just give him safety as he travels and give him times of peace with you. I know in my own life when I travel that it's a great time to just shut everything off and listen to what you have to say, and just pray that you would give him those moments, that you would just draw him closer to yourself, continue to lead him and lead his heart with the desires that he has for the people in Brazil. Lord, I just pray also that you would provide the funds that he needs to get to Brazil, to be able to settle there and to begin his life of ministry there. Again, Father, we just are thankful for this church that we do have a love for people outside of our own area, that we want to see your gospel preached to every edge of the world, and from this small body of believers that you have used us in a way that is actually reaching all across the world. God, we thank you so much for your Son. Thank you for the message that we have in him, the hope that we have in him. And I thank you that you have given us the ability to spread the good news of the gospel of Christ in this community and around the world. And God, we just commit Joel to you, to your service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Joel. Lord bless you. Have a wonderful week. Get to know Joel. He's got a display back there and sign up for his email and so forth. So thank you.
Pastor, yes. You announced that we do need some help stacking chairs, if possible, afterwards, and the moving of the boxy rails up there for the carpet project. So if anyone wants to help out with those, that'd be fantastic.
Excellent. Strong arms are needed right now, so.
Thank you.